A reading from the fifth chapter of Ephesians. Look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, making the best use of the time, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery. But be filled with the Spirit, addressing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody to the Lord with your heart, giving thanks always and for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ. This is the word of the Lord. The responsory, page 263. Forever, O Lord, your word is firmly set in the heavens.
Lord, I love the habitation of your house and the place where your glory dwells.
Blessed are those who hear the word of God and keep it.
Lord, I love the habitation of your house and the place where your glory dwells.
Glory be to the Father and to the Son and to the Holy Spirit. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. I hope you will pardon a redo of the text. But if I were trying to get its meaning clear using the Whedon Standard Version, it would run rather along these lines. Watch out how you're walking. Not like blind fools who don't know where they're headed, but as people with smarts who know exactly the destination of this trip called life. So don't get sidetracked by the diversions, because these days the diversions are massively enticing and they try to ensnare you on every side. So don't be dummies. Grasp what the Lord's will is. And in case you're confused about that, it's not you getting plastered with wine or anything of the sort, because that never furthers the journey. That's just a waste, and you know it. Instead, let God intoxicate you with his Spirit as he keeps pouring him into you. And as a result, you open your mouths and talk to each other and all kinds of music erupts, psalms and hymns and spirit songs, singing with your mouths, but above all, tuned into the vibe of the Lord in your heart, so that thanksgiving harmonically resonates, literally rings out from you all the time for every last thing to God the Father, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, and remembering in the fear of Jesus, because he is the Lord, not you, to be humble. And so dump your own agenda for yourself and for others and adopt his. Okay, that's a horrible translation. It's not even a very good paraphrase, but it is my best shot at getting us into the mind of St. Paul this morning. Let's think about it. Watch how you walk. Don't know about you, but I love walking. I don't know what this thing is called lunch that people do in the middle of the day. It holds zero interest for me, but I want to walk during that time. I want to be out there moving. And I have a goal. Got to get my vitality numbers. If I don't hit 15,000, you know what the wife and I do? Yeah, we walk in circles around the inside of the house until we hit those numbers before we go to bed. That's how silly we can be. And Paul points out you can actually kind of do that with life itself. You forget where you're headed, and you end up going nowhere, walking in circles, so consumed from today's urgent, 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 to tomorrow's urgent, 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 that you forget all about the important, important, important. Isaiah 35 is one of my all-time favorite passages. It talks about where we're headed as coming home to Zion. And that's awesome. But there's more. Because I think when Paul was thinking about Isaiah 35, I think what he saw with the open arms of Jesus, waiting for you, waiting for you at the end, waiting to hold you, waiting to grasp you, waiting to show you around and say, look at all this I won for you. Look, he's your goal. His open arms. Stay focused on him, Paul's saying, because he knows how easy it is to get distracted. The sideshows. To waste what life is here for. Life's not here for you to down that third cold one or to smoke that fourth bowl of weed. Ever seen a person who's high or drunk try to walk, let alone dance, with rhythm and grace? Me either. The Father, he's got something bigger and better for you than that, than any distraction, any diversion this life can cook up. He's given you Jesus. And to get you to your Jesus, the Father pours out the Spirit. You want to get drunk, Paul says? You want to get drunk? Get drunk on him. Paul says, swallow him down again and again and again. So I can't help but wondering if Paul had in mind that incident John tells us about at the end of John 7, the great day of the feast, pouring the water out, the Feast of Siloam, and Jesus interrupts the liturgy, stands up and says, well, if you're thirsty, come to me. Let the one who believes in me drink. For as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. And John adds, he says this about the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were later to receive. Drink down some Spirit, then. The Septuagint of Psalm 23 doesn't have anything about an overflowing cup. It's racier than that. It says, your cup of inebriation, how sweet it is. Oh, yeah. That's the Spirit. And you can find him flowing from the heart of Jesus in the means of grace. And the Spirit, he gets you going, moving, walking in step with Jesus and toward Jesus with music. He wants you to sing it into each other. So, don't you be one of those lame Christians who plants their posterior in a pew or chair and scowls in silence at the hymn book, waiting for the song to be over. No. Let the Spirit open your mouth. Let him even move your bodies. Lutherans, it's okay for him to move your bodies. Let him do that. The music literally changes your gait. You move instinctively in sync with the vibes that are washing over you. Have you ever noticed how you literally do that? If you're listening to music and you're walking and the rhythm changes, you change as you're walking along, right? Paul says that's how it is with the Spirit's song entering your ears through the word and lodging in your hearts. It shows up not just in what you say to each other and sing to each other, but he mentions two things that mark the person grooving with the Spirit. Thanksgiving, first of all, where everything is gift all the time. Everything. The joys and the heartbreaks. The laughter and the tears. It's all gift. And the person who beats in sync with God and in whom the Spirit sings, that's a life that has the eyes open to see all of these gifts as coming from God the Father, and every one of them having the purpose to get you to Jesus, to the one to whom you're headed, to keep you focused on him and how all-encompassing he is. Ephesians has a twin letter, of course, Colossians. And Paul says in that book that everything hangs together in Jesus, that Jesus is the point of it all, One modern translation of my favorite verse in Colossians dares to put it like this: there is only Christ, and He is everything and in everything. In everything that comes your way, you meet Jesus. The heartbeat of Jesus is the music of the cosmos. It rings through it all and was opened right there on the tree when He poured out His blood for you. And do you know what each drop of His blood does? Each drop sings. And what it sings is this: I love you. I made you. And now I've redeemed you. And you are mine. And you are precious to me. And you are mine forever. And there is nothing that I am ever going to let separate you from me and my love. Come home to me. It's the most amazing love song ever sung. And when you hear it and realize that the crucified one, He's singing it to you, your heart begins to beat with its pulse, and you begin to move with its rhythm, and your eyes are open to see how His gifts shower down nonstop. And your life then just fills up and overflows with gratitude. If He did not spare His own Son, but gave Him up for us all, how is He not with Him going to freely give us all things? All things. Thanks be to God for His inexpressible gift. So, thanksgiving and humility. The vibe of Jesus is humble. Puts the kibosh on trying to use others, to manipulate them, to insist on your own will and getting it by hook or by crook. And that hurts us youngest children. We know how to do it, and we know how to do it so well. And yet, Jesus gives us the gift of dying to all of that. Dying to it in fear. I'm still not sure why the ESV rendered that phobos there as reverence for Christ instead of fear. Fear of Christ. Not fear of being turned into a doormat, only the fear of not pleasing the one who went to the cross for us and for them. The one who is the Lord and who invites our lives into His own doxology to the Father, even in the way we treat each other. So I think in this passage from Ephesians 5, Paul really is hearing the melody and heartbeat of Isaiah 35. We're marching to Zion. We're marching home, singing as we go. Home to Jesus with His arms wide open wide. And so no getting distracted by the sideshows, no wandering off the path. And for heaven's sake, help each other as you walk along, arm in arm, singing the songs that the Spirit teaches, dripping with the Word, vibrating with the heartbeat of God and human flesh. And think about that. That tiny heart began beating in the Virgin's womb. It fell silent there on Golgotha. But from Easter onward, it beats forevermore, filled with the love that created the universe, that redeemed it, that animates it. And He is what inspires your soul as He calls you home, invites you to join His own endless thanksgiving and life of humble service to the neighbor. Alleluia, alleluia. Christ is risen. Amen.